Check, check. Oh, boy. We've pushed that button a little early here. I don't know if I'm ready. It is incredibly fucking foggy. I'm telling you, I am at the Eglinton Go parking lot. You can't see a fucking thing. You cannot see the tracks. You can't see any. Oh, I hear something, though. Hang on. Oh, fuck. Gotta turn the ignition. Hang on. Oh, go train, go train, go train. I know you love it. I know you love it as much as I do. But, oh, it's like a cartoon. Like, they're just dark silhouettes in the background. I had to move my car, turn it around, park it to face the GO station, the GO tracks. Oh, I love that sound. It's Saturday night. Early Sunday morning, I guess. Maybe, I don't know, what, 1 p.m. or something? Somewhere in there. Hello, says my dashboard. 12:35 on a Saturday morning. Sunday morning, Saturday night. I was out with John Meadows tonight at the Only Cafe. Just John and I. Fucking nice. Really fucking nice. Just to go and meet John and just talk. Spill my guts. Knowing this is a guy who understands things and could appreciate the things I had to say. And, you know, talk to him about all the things he's got going. Sorry, this train about to leave. Isn't that a great sound? That's pure muscle. It's so beautiful to see in the, just the lights like a silhouette. Cars are dark shadows. Lights are on. One, two, three floors. You know, it's three-level train. Oh, God, that's beautiful. Thing of beauty. Anyway, John and I agreed to meet at the Only, 7:30. I had several pints together. John left. I hung around for one more pint. Possibly foolish, possibly not. I was sort of thinking, you know, if somebody came by and I got into a conversation, as I sometimes do, it'd be worth it. And instead, no, I finished my pint quietly. Felt good. And here I am, relatively early, you know, 12:37. Here's what I wanted to say. Here's the point. You're going to hear at least three clips after this clip, which took place earlier than this clip. In fact, the first one was coming home from the Central Cafe after an evening out with the intern, Janine, and Brent out of shape. Great night. And it was a clip I decided I was not going to include. And so the only reason I'm telling you this now, this is like an intro, an upfront piece. The beginning of the podcast, but it's not really the beginning, right? It's an intro to say, hey, sort of like after you write a book, right? And you put in a foreword or something. This is a foreword to say, goddamn, say what? What was it that I had to say? I have to say, I'm fucking confused sometimes. I'm really fucking confused sometimes. And that may come across in the clips you're about to hear, the subsequent clips. You're going to say, what the fuck is going on with that guy? He used to make sense. He didn't seem to make sense anymore. And that's exactly right. But I'll tell you, I had this conversation with John tonight, and we talked about creativity. We talked about holding up the middle finger to the kids who tormented us in school. Now, everybody has a different version of what it was to be tormented in school. But to be maybe teased for being different. And now as adults being able to say, wait a fucking minute, you know. Yeah, I didn't fit into your particular mode, your way, your definition of what was cool. But hey, I'm a unique person. This is me. And that's the kind of thing. Holy shit, who is that? City or, I don't know, a big truck going by. That's the kind of thing we got to remind ourselves of, and we have to support ourselves within this community of caring, this community of creativity, which is what, to me, the podcast community has been reduced to, because not everybody is podcasting. John is doing photography, writing plays, writing stories, writing musicals. Gary, the other Gary, formerly of Chub Creek, Gary, he's not doing Chub Creek podcast. He's not doing his very, very interesting and very deep and caring blogs anymore. He's just doing photography and then putting up stupid asshole pictures of himself to make us all laugh. Thanks, Gary, for making me laugh. You're really good at that, and I love you for it, man. I really do. Roger Gillies. Way the fuck up in Yukon, how I want to visit Roger at his cottage, his home. Oh, man, is that a high priority. So, gosh, I thought this was going to be a straight piece, an introduction, a just, boom, get down to business, tell the folks, whatever you hear after this is likely to be even more confusing. Don't worry about it, okay? It's just me. I did talk to John about my gestalt, the therapy and so on, and how much of a benefit I think it is being to me, and how I'm not ashamed to own up to that. Anyway, you know, fuck this. I got two pieces of chicken left in a bag here. Set down to the only, there's a little chicken place right around the corner. Not the Square Boy, a different kind of chicken place. A halal chicken place. I ordered five. He said, I only got four. I'll charge you for three. How do you like that? I ordered five. He says, I only got four. I'll charge you for three. I love that. I love that. So I bought three pieces. Paid for three pieces. Had four. Ate two. And I'm coming home with two. Two drumsticks. I got two boys at home. I'm going to see who is still awake. If you're still awake, you get a drumstick. Here you go. I'm just going to basically open the doors and toss it into the room. There you go, boys. Here you go. Chomp, chomp. What a fucking truck going by again. What is it? Yeah, I don't know. Big truck. Anyway, boys, girls, Nixon Jeans listeners, thank you for all of you who have given me all the support all these years. Fucking thank you. Fucking thank you, okay? I don't know how to do it properly with like little roses and draw, you know, nice signature and send you a card. Instead, I'm just going to give you fucking thank you. Fucking thank you, all right? Is that good enough? If that's not good enough, fucking fuck you. Because really what I'm trying to say is fucking thank you, all right? That's where we're at. That's where we're at tonight, Saturday night, Sunday morning, who knows? I had to drive home. We're done. Maybe go back and listen to some podcasts. Maybe just sit for a while and chill my heels. Or heal my chills or whatever it is I gotta do. Brown my strongies, strong my brownies. Are the brownies strong? Are the strongies brown? Who knows? Yours truly, Scarborough Dude. Much fucking love. Follow John says, I don't know if it'll be that easy to shed the Scarborough Dude. All right, we're done. Bye for now. Yeah. If all goes according to plan, this will be a short film. There isn't actually a plan, but if there were a plan, it would be to get home soon and get all the things. It's early. It's 11:30. I'm in the Eglinton Go parking lot. Usually it's 1:30, 2:30 when I'm here. It's now 11:30. I met former good friends. That isn't to say they're not really good friends now, but, you know, friends I was close to when we did Gappage, and that was Janine the intern. You've met her at PAB conferences, Pod Camp Toronto. And Brent of Brent Out of Shape, and some other Clouds Out of Space, or Music Out of Clouds, or something like that. Very good podcast, actually. Podcaster, but programmer. A man on a mission, actually. He's planning. I think I can see it here. I hope I can see it here. Maybe making a Toronto directory of podcasts. And not just the podcasts that are coming out of Toronto, but like the live podcast nights, the venues where these things are playing. And keeping it, you know, pretty interactive, and a chance to find out there's a lot of things going on. And nobody's really promoting it that way. And it's time for someone to step up and do it. And I think Brent's the one. So I think that was exciting news for the night. Now, I complained a lot, like it just wasn't exciting and the spark wasn't there. What happened? Here's how it played out. As soon as we got there, we each had a beer and ate, I don't know, a third of a cookie or something. And in not too long, we were crazy, crazy high. Now, I'm saying that, you know, I should be embarrassed. I should be saying, oh, my God, what an asshole. No, it was wonderful. It was a blast. And I had another one of those ideas. You know the ideas I get when I'm high, when they're just so brilliant, so perfect? So, oh, my God, finally, I have this idea, this vision, this plan. And I have another one of those tonight. And I had the one on the way to Windsor, remember? And, of course, it was garbage. This one is still a keeper. And yet, I know there's got to be a major flaw with it. I mean, all these ideas ends up the next day when you're not high anymore. You find that they have a major flaw, like a big, you know, it's like a rhinoceros, except it's missing the hide. Well, you kind of need the hide if you're a rhinoceros. Never mind the horns. So there's always something that's wrong with the idea. And but so far for nights, no. The only thing I need is I need a partner. I need an artist. I need a cartoonist. I need an animator. But not to say animation as in terms of moving, but a good artist who can do sketches and cartoons and create characters that would remain the same. Panel to panel comic. Oh, I've said too much. Damn it. Oh, well, I can always bump with this out. Speaking of which, I just listened to Dixon James Podcast 490. Now, I've been saying to people, man, like, I've hit my stride. These last 10, 12 podcasts that I'm putting out up to 500, these are my best. This is my best work. Like, I'm actually saying that to people. Well, I listened to 490, and it was pretty fucking boring, and I was high even. Like, I've also always said, get high? Holy fuck, man, there's nothing like the Dixon James Podcast. 490 was actually pretty fucking boring. I even stopped listening, so I apologize for that, you know. But more than that, more importantly for me, it's a little bit of an awareness here. Hey, you can't go all the time thinking your shit doesn't stink. In fact, it smells like roses. Just a minute now, buddy. Maybe it doesn't. And that's certainly the way I felt for that last podcast. But in the great scheme of things, so the fuck what? Who cares? The fun is in the doing, and I had fun doing it. That's what counts. So whether or not it was a hit, you liked it, you got something out of it, you're bored. Excuse me. So what? There's another GO train. You know, I'm just like a dog, and you got the GO trains. I thought it was leaving the station. It was just realigning itself for getting the passengers off.
Yeah. And who knows what this will be, and does it really matter? Moving forward, living in the present, not necessarily having to repeat the past. I mean, this is something else. I realized a weird thing today when I sat looking across the room at Brent and Janine. Yeah, we had our time when we did our podcast. It was fun, but hey, our lives are on. We've moved on. They reminded me, no, Ken, we're not doing another podcast. We're done with you. And that probably wasn't a bad thing to hear, you know. Hard to think. I'm soon going to be in a begging position, begging somebody to have me on their show. Like, God damn it, that's awful. To have reached, you know, to have been humiliated to that point. But that's where I'm at. Now, I did continue in my mode I always get into when I'm with Brent and the Closet Geek. And that was to be rude and offensive. And that's just a part of the fun. They can dish it right back. So there's no problem there. And they do. Janine looked bored the whole time. God damn it, eh? Anyway, my happiness was I had one of these ideas. I ate that brownie or that cookie and just had this fucking amazing idea, which I've already clued away. And I'm really excited about that. I am very, very excited about the Dixon Janes comic that'll be coming out. There may even be... Yeah, no, won't tell them that now. Don't tell them that now. No. Enough said. Anyway, moving on. Apologies for the last podcast. Fuck you, who cares? Although I did meet somebody in the Central. We met at the Central. It was a great place. Holy fuck, $6.99 for a pint of Hogwarts and a pulled pork sandwich on a bun. Jesus Christ, what a deal. That was a deal. But anyway... What was the point we were getting to? God damn it. There we go again. Dead sign, dead giveaway. Your mind is not working the way it should be. You're not focusing there, buddy. You had this great idea. You didn't want to share that. You did have a good time during the course of the evening. Now, this is where we just start fading out because we've lost it. If there was any kind of a thread whatsoever... It's completely gone now. So we'll just taper this off and put in some music or something. Oh, yeah. There was a guy I met in the washroom, and I made some brilliant remark, comic remark. Oh, why we were pissing. We were both standing at the urinal pissing, and I said, you know, this is just a reminder. Now, I might have said from God, I don't know, but it was a reminder. The only reason we're pissing is to remind us that we are still animals. And he seemed to like that, and then later on at some encounter, then or the next time, or perhaps in the hallway, I may have mentioned I had a podcast and I was the Scarborough Dude. And he said, I'll listen. And I said, no, I said, I've said that 100 times in bars. I've never had a listener. No, maybe I'll be the first one. And I said, you know, nobody has ever said that before. So if that guy actually listened and got to this point... I'm waving to you right now. Hey, whoa, breakthrough. That's neat. Tell me your name. Write in, you know, send a comment. Post a comment. DixonJanes@gmail.com or go to the blog, DixonJanesBlogspot.com, something like that. There was even a DixonJanes.com registered today. Yes. And I think there's a DixonJanes.ca as well. Nothing up there yet, but it's coming. Anyway... if this young gentleman did listen this far, my worry was he would have tuned in, gone to the first one, 490, said, oh, that's fucking boring, and he'll never reach this point when I'm waving at him, you know, saying, hey, you out there? Did I catch you? I don't think so. I think at this point I'm not going to catch anybody, because if you haven't already bought into this long, drawn-out story of the Scarborough Dude sorting out his life. And believe me, I am in this very real process. And as much as I... may not present it in quite that way, it's a real thing for me. It really is. I'm enjoying going through this little bit of process of therapy. It's almost a little bit frightening. It's also a little bit embarrassing on top of that, you know. There is an embarrassing. Why? You don't have your shit together? Is that why you're going to counseling? Gestalt? No, it's not just that. It's I don't know who I am. Are you supposed to know? Is that the deal? Or like, are we all supposed to know who we are and just behave a certain way? Or is it just a question of, no, just wake up to the fact, boy, that nobody does, and you do define yourself with every new movement, and just grasp that. Be open. You'll be okay. But, yeah, you know, there'd be no point in the counseling, no point in the therapy if it was that easy. It must be that we have some illusions, some blocks, some confusion. Now, most of you out there listening don't. And you're saying, yeah, okay, well, thanks for telling us, dude. Didn't know you had a problem. And I'm liking to think, no, I don't have a problem. I just want to go a little further. And rather than get a guru or meditate and do anything else, I'm just going to go and talk to somebody who's trained as a... along the lines of with any good profession, you have to be a reflective practitioner. And I do believe this person certainly is that. A reflective practitioner. Like, he thinks about what he's doing. And he's good at it. But the point is for me to reflect and look back. And I don't know why. Why is it? Why am I doing all this? Why do I feel this need for this change? Like, it's I've made it such a big thing. And it's almost like, well, now it's become a joke. I don't want it to be a joke. I want to actually... It's almost a break-on-through thing, but I don't even know if I believe in that. Is it to come out stronger? Is it to have more confidence? What is it exactly that I want? And I think I can leave it there, because I don't think, obviously, I have the answer. I wouldn't be asking the question. So I'm sharing that with you. Because that's what I like to do or try to do here on the Dixon Jeans podcast, and encourage any of you, like MMD, you heard on the last one, so that wasn't a bad part of the podcast. And maybe, looking back on it, maybe I'll go back to listening to it and say, hey, well, you know, wait a minute now. You had a shitty time before Christmas, you had a great time after Christmas, you went through time in the period of a few days, you went through some major changes and came out the other side, and things were good. That's a good story. What the hell's the matter with that? What are you complaining about? It's just a reflection of your time. It's a diary. You know, it's all just a journal entry. That's all. Was never trying to be anything else but that. Anyway, watching the buses fly by, I'm saying, hey, man, time for me to go home. So, boys, girls, Dixon James, this is the Scarborough Dude,
Kia, and Water God.
Signing out.
You know, on the table, and then you went along the line.
So I can go and listen to myself again. I know you've heard this part. Thank you, and so goodbye. Harmless, I'm looking at your second door. How come you don't send me no regard? You know I want your loving, honey, why are you so hard? Kneeling neath your ceiling, yes, I guess I'll be here for a while. I'm trying to read your portrait, but I'm helpless like a rich man's child. How come you send someone out to have me barred? You know I want your loving.
solid rock. Well, I lean into your hallway, lean against your velvet door. I watch upon your scorpion who crawls across your circus floor. Just what do you think you have to guard? You know I want your loving, honey, but you're so hard. Someone like him to be your god. You know I want your loving, honey, but you're so hard.
Sitting in my car. I should enunciate. I'm getting a little sloppy there. It's 2:30, December 30th. I've spent the morning doing my morning pages, writing, and recounting a lot of the ideas from last night. I recorded a bit from my car, and I don't know yet whether I'll included in this podcast or not. Usually when I say that, I end up throwing it in anyway. Got a little off track, as happens on the Dixon Janes podcast. I gotta tell ya, I'm really losing my confidence in the things that I'm doing. I just told you, or told many people, that I thought recently the Dixon Janes podcast I've been putting out have been my best. I talked about this last night, and I'm realizing, no, that's not true. Not true at all. Why would I say that? Why? What's going on? I really do feel I am in a process of change and almost upheaval. And it's very confusing. And it leaves you in a position of not knowing where you're standing. Like, what do you hold on to? What's real? What's not? I haven't mentioned the book, but since I had this conversation with Mark Blevis anyway in Ottawa, I can mention it now. I bought a book called The Artist Way by Julie Cameron. It was recommended to me, and it's a way of... It's written for potential or budding or frustrated artists, people who really have a desire to create, a need to create, but are stopping themselves, are not getting to where they want to get to. And either these are mental blocks or just the usual baggage we all drag around with us. that stops us from realizing our potential. And it's a real, you know, gung-ho, hey, you know, just, boy, be open to it and you'll be surprised at how quickly things come rushing to your aid and everything works. Well, I've bought into it 100%. Like, I believe everything she's saying. I'm amazed at how well she's written this book, that it's got a universal appeal, even though each individual has their own problems. She has enough of an understanding of what it is to be creative or a frustrated creative, to have something for everybody. They give you a lot of homework. I have to write morning pages every single day, 3 pages. And I'm doing that faithfully on my Mac. Most people do it, you know, handwritten in a notebook or something, but just easier for me to type. Then there are a number of exercises in each chapter. It's divided into 12 chapters with the idea you could do one a week. And some people just stop altogether. For some of us, that 1 week might stretch into 2 weeks, but that's okay. The main thing is to try and do everything. The advice that I got was, anytime you find some resistance, go address the resistance, because there's something there for you to deal with. This is the advice from my therapist and in application to this book. And I think he's right on there. I think that's very true. When you're resisting something, say, oh, this is stupid or this doesn't make any sense, at least examine a little more closely and trying to find out why. Where does that voice come that's not going along with it? What's really causing that? This may be just so much, it's not trite, but just such, oh my God. The words I'm firing up now are really no different from the words I've been firing up for the past 10 years. It's just all the same. It's just one guy caught up in his head, having a dump on you, the listener, of just what it is that's mixing me up, confusing me. And that may be so. But I'm still have to deal with it. I still have to get up and walk away and carry on and function in life and get all the things done that need doing. And address my own creative anxieties, my own sense. The one thing that I have that I know, whether or not I am a storyteller, I have a need to share stories. And this goes back to 20 years of the Dixon Jane zine. Yeah, we've heard that. But that really was the essence. It was to draw people in and share. Where are you now? What are you doing? Like, send in a postcard, send in a short letter. Tell us what's up. And looking back now over time, you know, wow, how people's lives have changed. You know, people before they were married, before they had children, and now it's a whole different world. So that was, in a sense, the sharing. And then the Dixon Jane's podcast was, well, mainly 120% me telling my stories. And God, how I kept this up and kept listeners for 10 years, I really don't know. Because right now, after me seeing how wonderful I thought these podcasts are, I'm really at the point now and realizing, no, they aren't and they never have been. But don't let that bother you. Just carry on. And that's what we have to do. So, rather than talk to you, I should dig out the book, The Artist Way, and, oh, God, heaven that, maybe. Or find a passage in there. I've got another book that I want reading. I've just got stuff. And then there was last night. Okay, last night, I, had that third, I guess, of a cookie and got very, very high to the point where it was hilarious. I mean, it was just, holy shit. We're not talking just a little bit. Yeah, I got off. Talking really high, like boom, almost into the chemical level of high. Well, of course it is, but you know what I mean. Higher than usual. And it was fun. It was interesting. And it was with, you know, the badly bent out of shape closet geek and intern, our intern, formerly of Gabbage, And it was an interesting. We were a friendship. We were a core group. But anyway, in the midst of our conversation, they were both sitting across from me, and I was sitting in a very comfortable, low-slung chair across a table, facing the two of them who were tightly side by side on a little sofa. So it was very easy for me to tune out. Tune in when I want, tune right out. Brent starts going on a bit long. We had to reduce him to, like, okay, two ideas per sentence, no more. And the sentences didn't seem to have ends to them. Anyway, that allowed me to tune out and just to entertain myself with my own ideas. And the one I got, which I'm going to share with you now, on condition to myself that if I think better of this later on, I just won't, you won't be hearing any of this. And that's a possibility. But the idea was, and of course, let's backtrack a little here. You know what happens with me and ideas? Ideas are a way of avoiding the real work. Ideas are the dreams. And I'm very good at dreams. And of course, when I get high, even more so. Like I can just travel the cosmos with my ideas and just, it's so exciting. It's so much fun. But getting grounded, coming back down to, well, what's the reality? What's really involved? If you really think that's a good idea and you want to actually carry that idea out, what's actually involved? What are the steps? Again, my counselor talked about process. You know, it's not just me cleaning up the floor. It's just approach it like a process. Okay, this is a big project. You're not getting it all done at once, but maybe you can start with just a few papers or a couple of folders. And that is what I should go back and do today. And I know I'll feel good about it. So there's the situation. You get high, you get an idea, the idea just seems wonderful. You're living out of touch. Your feet are definitely high off the ground. And it satisfies all these immediate needs. It's just giving you a rush, a buzz. And that might be just a condition of getting high. It's also a condition of the way my brain and myself function. I need to be entertained. I entertain myself with ideas. I get carried away. I run with them. It's like playing. It's like just, you know, you've got all the Lego blocks you need to build anything you want. And the thing is, you're not actually putting them together and building. You're just imagining this thing. So what I imagined last night was a Dixon Jane's graphic novel. A comic. More of a comic. I'm not sure I'm even comfortable with the word graphic novel, but that seems to fit pretty well because it's going to be with pictures and with script and dialogue and captions and stuff. Now, I'm not going to draw this because I don't have drawing talents, but what I need is an artist partner who can read my mind almost, or at least get exactly what it is that I want drawn, because I'm seeing the pictures and all these things, all these stories that I want to tell you, like the mushrooms in Palenque. The mushrooms in Palenque. Palenque is the Mayan ruin, so this city that was lost in the jungle for hundreds and hundreds of years until early explorers came through and with machetes and hacked away and found this unbelievably beautiful stone city, this holy place with temples and buried treasures of Mayan ruins. Like, holy Christ, what a place. Well, we visited there. This was our pilgrimage. This is where we had to get to in Mexico. Alvin, Robin, and myself driving down his big van. But before going into the ruins, we had to pick the mushrooms because we're going to do this high. We're going to actually have these hongos, these perfect purple rings. Well, we get into the field, we get up at dawn, we get into the field with cow pasture. This is where they grow out of cow shit. We're just stooped right over, walking in the early morning dew and picking out all these mushrooms. Found one. They just grow overnight. And we got a bag full of them, gagged it down, too many of them, got right, whoa, hallucinogenic high, like big time hallucinations. And we're just gone for hours and hours and hours, all day, just separate places. We just left each other. We're all by the river. We're all Alvin in one temple, me in another. Boom. That's it. Now, it was amazing. And right up until the end where this woman came up and there was this a temptress. So, anyway, I've mentioned this story before. Probably I don't even know if I've been attempted at writing it, but it's neat. Now, you can say, oh, yeah, it's just another high, but no, the backdrop. Come on, we're not just, you know, sitting eating a bag of mushrooms that somebody gave for us or cut up and sliced for us and in the city getting high, going to a movie. This is, we're lost in a jungle. Well, we're not lost, but mentally we were gone. I can picture that entire story. I see the scenes, and the scenes are frozen, like I'm getting the pictures. So I know I can describe exactly what I want in each picture. So the setting is beautiful. If you picture a page of comic book with all these panels, and you're seeing in each one what's happening. I'm seeing the temples across from me. Now, it's easy to draw because there are photographs of these actual ruins. So with the right artist, that person, he or she, is actually sketching this temple from whatever perspective I'm seeing with this field across and the hallucinations. A good artist is going to be able to draw the wavy signs where, wow, nothing is staying still and the colors are vibrating and so on. And the dialogue that goes with the things that are happening, this whole story I can picture so clearly, and that's just one of the many, many stories that would come up in this whole series of comics, the Dixon Janes comics. I'm going back to 1969, to the acid trip in Morocco, and I can picture that scene at night with the flute player and the drunken Arab and the taxi whizzing by, heading off to the Kasbah, and us standing in the middle of the street, high as anything, me and this professional drug smuggler and his wife and Pete, my freaked out partner. Holy shit. And all these stories that I want to tell lend themselves so beautifully to just a picture and a narration and captions. And I've been feeding on this for hours and hours and hours today. Excited at the prospect of, yes, that's my answer. Now, I say that from the position of where I am actually believing this is real. This is my answer. This is what I'm doing. It's going to take time. It's going to cost money, but this is what's going to happen. But as I say that, there's this tremendous, you wouldn't believe the degree of fear and anxiety and pain that goes with the possibility that this is just another illusion, just another idea that will have its say and then pass away, and I won't do it. I won't pursue it. It's a meaningless idea once again. It wasn't the real thing. It's like for these past 40 years of me starting to write that book, and each time I'm looking for the beginning, I'm looking for the answer, I'm looking for the way in. It becomes huge and monumental and heart-stopping. It just becomes impossible. And part of it is creating something so great in your mind that you can't possibly ever achieve it. And that, it's just, it's hard to deal with. Those of you who are creators or artists might be understanding what I'm saying. Those of you who are musicians might just say, no, you just get out and you play and it gets better and it gets better and you just do it. But this isn't a case of just doing it. This is a case of conceiving it, seeing it, imagining it, but not being able to do it without help. I need an artist. I need the person to draw each frame. Yesterday I went online. I will never forget the name of the Turkish freighter that we sailed on from fucking Piraeus, Greece, all the way to Barcelona, a 5-day Mediterranean trip for $30 on a Turkish freighter. Holy fuck. I Google in that name and I find there's a guy with a whole website of these classic old freighters. And there are pictures of that very one that we were on. It was beautiful. What a piece of luck. One friend just happened to see a posting up in a ticket station, ticket office at a ferry terminal for this ship that was coming through on this date and sailing for Barcelona. And I said, let's go. And we bought tickets. And off we went. And each one of those times, well, there again is that picture of that freighter that being put into the tourist cabins of the South Africans who, in 1970, couldn't get off, weren't allowed to leave the ship in Marseille because, hey, there's a boycott on all things South African. That led me to Barcelona, led me to Cordova, led me to meeting up with the drug dealers on the way to Athens. The caves in Matala. The caves where all the drug dealers in Europe met, rendezvoused after scoring in Lebanon and Israel and coming back with kilos of government-stamped hashish. Cooling it just for a spell before heading into the States with their, hopefully, the mother load in their guitar case or whatever that they hoped was going to make them wealthy. And I could tell, man, some of those guys still had a bit of fear. There was an awful lot of hash being smoked in the caves in Greece. Stuff that they wouldn't have to carry in with them because there was always that fear, man, if they're caught. This is heavy duty. This isn't just personal consumption. These guys are taking a big chance. But all the characters, this is the same place Joni Mitchell wrote about on the album Blue. And she's fed up living in those caves and wants to get out to Paris and put on some perfume and have a nice night out. And she's tramping around Europe probably just a year or two before me. And I can picture, I mean, there is even a photograph of the time of sitting on the sand of the beach right there. And the caves up in the background, the caves where we sat and got too stoned, the caves where the guy with the chillum called out, help, you know, there's too much smoke here. He's got a whole bottle full. He made this chillum. He needs help smoking it. We all come together like a tribe. Dora bakes the apple pies. The heads drift out from the caves and head down. So you have a taste of that apple pie, everybody high as high can be. The police coming in the next week, or a couple of weeks later, and shutting the whole thing down and booting all the hippies out. Everybody just disappeared. That scene is ended. It's over. Who was the narc amongst the group who tipped them off? Anyway, I dream. I have stories. I want to share these stories. I could write these stories in just a regular fashion as a short story book, because up until a couple of days ago, I was going to write a collection of short stories. The Matala, the caves in Matala, getting stoned there, hanging out with the drug smugglers. The acid in Morocco. The mushrooms in Palenque. Those are just the high stories. There are others. How about the acid in Dorval, at Dorval Airport? Oh, my God. So, yeah, heavy on the drug stuff, I suppose, because they make for, in my mind, more interesting stories, but there's a lot more. The elopement with my wife, that's a story. Could be beautifully drawn, beautifully drawn. My whole life could be drawn out in this series of graphic comics. I really, right now, believe and think it's the way to go. Nothing is shaking me from that yet. I can hear you in the background, the distance, sort of doubting, some of you doubting. And that's okay. I have to overcome all doubts. I have to overcome my own doubts, which is the ones that are most frightening. So, I don't know. I've said it. And I think I'll end it there. I really don't know what I'm going to do with these clips, if anything. I think they may be best just to be buried away and forgotten. Scarborough Dude. A very confused, mixed up, and hyped up, troubled Scarborough Dude. Signing off.
Whenever the sunshine comes through, whenever my thoughts turn to you, whatever you want me to do, I will be there. Whether I crawled up the hill, challenged or been through the mill, just as long as I fit the bill, I will be there. Time. And you're drinking champagne and wine. Anytime, I don't mind. And even if I've got the blues, after I pay all my dues, you decide to go for a cruise. I will be there. My suitcase and my toothbrush and my overcoat and my underwear.
The end of Dixon Jane's podcast number 491, part 1. Part 2 to follow.